Welcome to the Umbrella Hour. This is Dr. On, clinical sexologist. My co-host, Xander Kagt, was not able to be present during the time that I spent with Richard Cirillo, vice president of the AIDS Memorial Project of Northeast Florida, also known as AMP. I had a wonderful time with Richard, and I hope you enjoy this hour that we spent together. Welcome, Richard.
I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
Richard tells us why he started the AIDS Memorial Project of Northeast Florida, AMP. Let's hear what he has to say.
That's a profound question. I think that because, quite honestly, I'm still alive when all fine, much better people than I are not. And, you know, you look around and most of the people you loved and dated and friends are gone. And there must be a reason for me to still be above ground. You've got to make it, you've got to justify it. And when I retired from the school system, I had the time and the energy to dedicate to this. And so I certainly knew of a number of friends here locally who wanted to participate in this, and I got in touch with them. Came over to my house one evening. I said, I'm thinking about creating the AIDS Memorial of some sort, and immediately brainstormed a very creative group. That was over 8 years ago, and we are still going, and we're in better shape than I had even imagined. We've created a number of murals and monuments and things. The board of directors is very motivated to continue the trajectory we've established.
I asked Richard what it took to start AMP, given the climate at the time.
I think when you're establishing any new organization, the thing we started up with, that we connect with other organizations, the city, our city councilmen, our neighborhood association, we had to make sure that we were connected to organizations that had been here much longer than we. And so our first accomplishment, I believe, would have been in going to see and speak to the Parks Department about a wall that was filled with graffiti that was sexual and in nature. There's a lot of gang tagging on that. And it was across the street from the school, an elementary school. So I presented to the head of the Parks Department. I had an artist with me who came up with an idea of how we were going to make a mural out of that. The Parks Department was happy. It wasn't costing them anything. And we were making the park more beautiful. But then we also added the names of local individuals just in this neighborhood who passed away from AIDS-related diseases. And that was our first major accomplishment. And I was very pleased because we worked with the Parks Department, we worked with the Public Works, and we even had our city councilman there to read the names when we did our dedication. So it was a triple run. As far as I was concerned, it was a wonderful accomplishment of our first time.
There was so much more than just what Richard mentioned, but she goes into more detail.
We do have a few more that we did and we've accomplished. We're very pleased. We then turned our attention to the basketball court in the same park. We chose this park because the park was where Pride began back in 1978 in Jacksonville. It was a small event. There were about 300 people. I was there. There were only a few of us left there for all these years. We painted the large mural on the basketball court, and that got a lot of publicity from neighbors, community organizations, and the city. Of course, we had permission by the Parks Department to do that. And in that painting, it's made to look like a pond. And so there are goldfish in this pond and that kind of thing. And then the artist added a couple of manatees, which are a local swimming elephants. And then I asked the artist to also add a rainbow trout in the bunch of fish, indicative of our neighborhood. That was a great accomplishment. Then we turned our attention to the gazebo in the park. In the gazebo, we chose to only use female names because women came to the rescue of so many men at the height of the AIDS epidemic when things were so bleak and so many people were dying or taking care of their partners and their friends. And it was women who came to the rescue. The gazebo is filled with flowers, with stars, with other attractive ornamentation, as well as the names of local women who were there, stepped up to help, but also succumbed to the disease too. Then we turned our attention to a park bench that had been dedicated to a young man who had been killed in the Pulse nightclub. There was a park bench there that was donated by a different organization, but one night it was stolen. Someone came in and took it right out of the ground and took it away. We suspect that it was probably a hate crime because at about the same time, the governor was talking about don't say gay, that kind of thing. And then suddenly this bench with the young man's name disappeared. We did some fundraising and we replaced that park bench with the approval of our Parks Department, and it is permanently placed on a concrete slab. There's no way it's going anywhere.
Richard is referring to the Pulse nightclub shooting that took place some years ago in Orlando. I can't believe how many years have gone by. It was back in June of 2016.
We've added a number of trees. I think at last count, we added 175 trees to the park, many of which are in dedication to individuals throughout our city that loved ones have donated a tree. And these are pretty big trees. They're about 6 feet to 8 feet tall when we put them in the ground. And the park has been transformed. Just about 2 weeks ago, we had a historic marker placed in the park. And we had a dedication for that. We had an invocation. We had our city councilman there. We had representatives from different community organizations there and a variety of LGBT groups. That was our most recent historic undertaking. We're very proud of that, especially. All of these have been major expenses, but the community has stepped up and helped with the funding of these.
I asked Richard to talk about the AIDS Memorial Wall. This was the wall that was unveiled at Willow Branch Park on October 3rd of 2020.
The wall itself, the one that is dedicated to local, just in this neighborhood, it is filled with sunflowers. There are many names on that wall. I think we have about 75 names on the wall, which is not even all of the names from this neighborhood. Those are just the ones I can remember. And when we went to the Parks Department, the head of the Public Works wanted to know what the symbolism of a sunflower was. They didn't want to put in anything that might be suggestive of religion or drug usage or anything like that. I understand they wanted to be sure that they were crossing all their T's and dotting their I's. Well, when they were assured that a sunflower is just a sunflower, they gave us approval. The young man who painted it, his name is Keith Doles. He's a local African-American artist, wonderful talent. He too was affected by the HIV. His two uncles passed away from AIDS-related illnesses. And he had a couple of other very young artists with him, male and female, white, Latin, black. They all came together to create this beautiful mural. It was interesting because its mural is right above a creek. It's on the side of a bridge. They had to set up scaffolding over this creek because the creek also has alligators and snapping turtles. They're always watching just to make sure they're stepped. That was quite a task. But we went even further with that. All of those individuals who served in the military, and there are quite a few because this is a military city, we put in a khaki-colored star next to their name. Now we have about 35 new stars on the side of these names, indicating their military service.
Jacksonville, outside of Key West, are the only two areas in Florida that have an AIDS memorial wall dedicated to those who lost their lives to AIDS-related illnesses. I asked Richard to talk a little bit about the AIDS memorial wall.
The only two in the Southeast. There's no AIDS memorial in Atlanta. There's none in Miami, Fort Lauderdale. There's none in Charlotte or Charleston or New Orleans. And these are all fine Southern cities. We have one. and it's growing. We have a few other things we have planned. I will tell you what we were talking about just recently. We have something called Prevail, which is a memorial to individuals who are victims of hate and intolerance. And certainly the height of the AIDS epidemic was nothing but hate and intolerance. But this will be a broader interpretation to include racial and gender biases. And that's being worked on at this time. And we're very happy and pleased with the speed in which that is being accepted by our city councilman, the Parks Department, and our mayor. The other thing we're working on, it was just announced in our board meeting, is a memorial to LGBT veterans who were fighting two battles. They were not only fighting for their country, they were also fighting with their country. They were fighting for their health. They were also fighting for their lives. They were fighting for their representation. And this memorial has really sparked a lot of interest on the board. And one of our board members, a woman by the name of Mary Joan Hinson, is an artist. And she immediately started sketching ideas for something that would be almost Greco-Roman in its design, colonnade, representing the monuments of an older world. And we like that idea, but we're certainly open to new ideas too. Given the number of military people here, and I think that this is going to be one of our big successes.
You are listening to the Umbrella Hour with Dr. On. This is our first commercial break. You are listening to a special with Richard Cirillo, who is the president and board member of the AIDS Memorial Project of Northeast Florida, also known as AMP. We will be back shortly.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet mixed with water and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colors or preservatives. Just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We are back from our first commercial break. You are listening to the Umbrella Hour with Dr. On. My guest this hour is Richard Cirillo. Xander Keg was not able to join us this hour, but he'll be back next time. Let's get back to where we left off. I turned to Richard and asked him about Tony.
My partner, Tony O'Connor, a better person you'll never meet. Really sweet. We've been together for 12 years. We'd probably still be together unless he traded up and got somebody better than me. He was in the Navy. And when we met, he was in a toxic relationship with somebody who threatened to out him in the Navy if he tried to break up with him. But he had already been infected by that guy. So we didn't know that for the first 3 years of our relationship. And then he started showing signs of, you know, opportunistic diseases. And I had been suspicious of some of that stuff. And when that previous boyfriend passed away, I said, it's time for you to be tested because you've had a lot of these opportunistic things happen to you that most people don't suffer from. Indeed, he was positive. He was very sad about that because he knew that in those days, there was just such limited hope. Oddly enough, I was not infected. It was not through any safe sex practices. We didn't even know anything about that in those days. For whatever reason, and I call it dancing in a minefield, I have found myself on the other side of this minefield.
Richard has been writing about his life dancing in the minefield. He's been writing for a number of years now.
Having trudged through that minefield with great boots and a lot of noise, I found myself on the other side, on the tree line. And you've got to ask yourself, why? Is it a mathematical equation? Is it statistical? Is it some sort of higher power? Well, I can't answer those questions. I'm not that smart.
I tell Richard that 10% of the world population, there are individuals who do not get HIV. And that's because of the gene mutation that takes place, which simply means that when a gene mutates, there's been a change in the way the sequencing of the DNA makes up that gene. It's very interesting, this gene DNA sequencing. What it means is there's a mistake in the way that the nucleotides are arranged. And it's in that rearranging that I suppose in this particular case would make someone resistant to HIV. So I tell Richard this.
I wish more people had that. Well, certainly I'm blessed to have it. I won't chance my luck, let me just say that. I come from a long line of hardworking peasants, and I'm sure that what didn't kill them made them stronger. And so of my mother and father's families, Italian and Portuguese, the various epidemics and pandemics that plagued Europe in the last couple of thousand years, people died by the many thousands, but still the trash had to be brought out in the morning and society did not collapse. And taxation had to be continued and whatever. I have no reason, I have no idea as to why I should be so fortunate, but I am.
I asked Richard if he could tell us about some of the other programs and meetings that he holds and why he does what he does.
We live in a historic district here, and one of my first ventures was to make friends with our local neighborhood association. Well, I was on good terms with them to begin with, but they have been, since the beginning, our strongest and most loyal supporters, the Preservation Neighborhood Association. And then I've been working politically to make sure that we had a city councilman that we could work with too. And fortunately, we were able to elect one Republican, one Democrat, both of which have been very good for us, knowing the demographics of the neighborhood. So these meetings with elected officials, community associations, as well as the LGBT community, we've just been laser focused on what we wanted to do. These meetings have been very good. I've been well received by the Parks Department, City Council. I've been well received by Public Works. I have never, ever experienced any side comment or any dismissive glance or anything of that sort. Certainly, I have only received the best of responses along the way.
Richard talked about some of the city council members and their efforts in supporting the AIDS Memorial Project.
Randy DeFore, she's an old-time Republican. She's a country club Republican. She grew up in this neighborhood. Very nice woman. I liked her very much. She was termed out. And she gave her support to a Democrat coming into this position, Jimmy Peluso, and he won.
Richard talks about Jacksonville's voting and their new mayor.
Well, I would tell you that this is the first time ever in the history of Jacksonville that the rainbow flag flew above City Hall, ever. And it just happened this last Pride. We have a wonderful mayor who understands how she got into office, voting blocked by the LGBT community. And the sleeping giant of the LGBT community has been awakened. And I have long been a proponent of LGBT economic and political power and muscle to use it and to use it where we needed to and to ensure that people knew where it was coming from. And so I did a commercial for her, in fact, during her campaign. It was really funny. And afterwards, at her victory party, I had a chance to speak to her. I said, you know, you would have had even more votes. And she said, well, I have enough. I won. She said, how do you figure? I said, well, had the camera been spent a little bit more time on me, you would have had even more votes. Of course, she laughed and she said, you know, you're probably right. Anyway, she's a wonderful humanitarian. I think this is the first female mayor. And let's put this into perspective. She's a Democratic female mayor in the Southeast. This is increasingly more difficult to achieve, certainly not on a national level, unfortunately. She was tenacious. I think she has given Jacksonville a different reason to be proud.
Jacksonville has battled for years the moral issue held against the gay community. And there are others who have picked up where some have left off. Either way, this was quite a victory for Jacksonville.
Well, let me say that her cousin was our mayor, Tommy Hazzouri, a couple of mayors ago. Very good man, too. Very good guy. This is an immigrant family. They came from Syria. They came from the Ottoman, what was then the Ottoman Empire when they came to this country. Jacksonville has one of the largest Middle Eastern populations in the country, second only to Detroit area. And so some of our most philanthropic families, some of our political families, our activist families, are all from Middle Eastern descent. She's a Hazzouri of that family. We're very fortunate to have her. And I don't know what the future holds, but as far as me and my community and my friends, we think it's a much more golden future than her opposition one. Her opposition was a handpicked candidate that the governor selected. Now, the governor was born in Jacksonville. He did not take Jacksonville when he was elected. Jacksonville went blue, and he got that sting. It stung him pretty badly. So when he had his hand-selected mayoral candidate lose also, again, it was a sting. He has been vindictive and petty, which is what we all know him to be, banning books and closing schools and LGBT opposition and fights with Disney. I can only hope he's transient and he will wander off into the wilderness where he belongs.
I shifted the focus once again, this time asking Richard to talk about his historic home in Avondale. When I was working on photojournalism projects, when I first moved to Jacksonville, I always refer to the historic district as the gay historic district of Jacksonville. This is what Richard had to say.
Well, it's hard for me to talk a little bit about my house and me. Anybody knows anything about me knows I can give a long-winded dissertation on home renovation. Let me say, I'll make it as much of a synopsis as possible. Back in 85, I was on the Historic Preservation Vice President. One of the board members said to me, you're at an age you should be looking at real estate, blah, blah, blah. And so she presented to me a selection of properties. I didn't have a lot of money at the time. I was more of a party boy and I wasn't really interested in houses. But she was logical. She gave me a variety of homes to look at. Tony and I looked at a few of them. But Tony was especially attracted to our house, the one that I'm living in now. He wanted a house with a porch, of all things. He just envisioned being on the porch and rocking and doing relaxing things. I wanted a house that was a bit of a blank canvas, one that needed not as much renovation as this house needed, but one with renovation and restoration. Well, this house came available, and I remember seeing it and it just talking to me. It was condemned. I still have the condemned notice in the bathroom. Tony and I were out at one of the bars downtown. And I said to him at 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the morning, I said, come on, let's go. So in my sports car, my little convertible British Leyland sports car, we came into the driveway. I had the highlights on my car off so we can see the house. And we got out and looking out this hovel of a house. This is a wonderful life story. This place was an absolute mess. And I said, this is it. This is it. I could feel it. Well, he was more happy if I was happy. We didn't have any knowledge about renovation. We were pretty dense when it came to that kind of thing. I had no tools. In fact, all my friends thought I was a fool because I had some metric tools to work on my little sports car, but nothing else. So since that time, I finished the attic to a third floor. And as you know, by visiting, we now have taken off the old front of the house and now restored it to its 1878 Victorian Greek Revival look. And I think it looks quite stately. And that's the abbreviated version.
Of course, I'm flashing back to the earlier years when I lived in Avondale. I asked Richard if he remembered where we met. I remember meeting Richard in San Marco, another historic district of Jacksonville, at some Democratic function, but I can't remember whose house it was.
I don't remember, but it does not seem out of the ordinary. We do have mutual friends that might have introduced me to you. I'm happy they did. You, of course, didn't live very far from me in those days. You lived about a mile down the street, and we hosted a couple of parties. You hosted a party at your house a couple of times, and I was standing next to you and introducing you to all the guests that you didn't know. It turned out quite successfully. I also want to mention that I also hosted a white party for many years. I hosted an annual Armed Forces Day party. It started in 1978, and that was about the same year as Pride. In 1975, there was a party that was raided here in Jacksonville. It was just a birthday party. It was over on the south side of San Jose Boulevard. And it was just a birthday party. There was about maybe 30 guys there. Many of them were my friends. And the neighbor next door had a seething hatred for gay people. So she called the police department and reported there was a gay orgy going on next door and that children were in peril. So the police came to this house, pushed in the door, pushed the people around. There was absolutely nothing going on there except cocktails and birthday cake. But they arrested everybody. Everybody was arrested. The next day in the newspaper, it listed their names, their birthdays, their jobs, their addresses. These were many people who were not out to their family. They were not out to their jobs. They were not out in the military. That was in 1975. And I was fully aware of that in 76. And so when I had my party, my first party, my anniversary of living in Jacksonville, I think it was in 77 or 70, I know it was by 78. Can't remember that far back. But I invited my friends over to my place. And I thought, I would just like to see the cops push into my door and arrest us. We're sitting around having wine, coffee, cake, laughing. It was an afternoon thing. I didn't have any furniture. We were sitting on pillows, just having a great old time. And I thought, just try it. Maybe having grown up with my dad as a cop had given me a little bit more of a attitude, perhaps. But I thought, are you going to come into my house and arrest me because I'm having a birthday party with my friends? So needless to say, that didn't happen. But for 40 years after that, I had an annual party. And when Tony passed away, the year after he passed away, I made it into a white party. So I asked individuals to now make contributions. The 300 to 500 people who came to my house, they would contribute as much as $12,000, $20,000. All that money went to PFLAG, Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays College Scholarship Fund. And we were sending 16, maybe 20 young people to college or helping them out with their tuition every year. Well, that came to a close after 40 years. I figured that my prison sentence was over. It's up to their board of directors, some other funding. But I think that that's something I'm uniquely proud of. And now my friends are all asking, hey, why don't we have that party again? No, don't want to do it.
We will be taking our second commercial break. You are listening to the Umbrella Hour with Dr. On, and my guest this hour is Richard Cirillo. Richard is the board president of the AIDS Memorial Project of Northeast Florida, and this is a special. We are recognizing World AIDS Day and, of course, throughout the month of December. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with Nasal Guard for pet lovers. Nasal Guard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try Nasal Guard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, ant and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You are listening to the Umbrella Hour. This is Dr. On with my guest, Richard Cirillo. Let's pick up where we left off. I got curious. Were those friends who attended the first party, did they return to attend the white party in later years?
They were at my party. Yeah, I knew those people. Yeah, sure. Yes, in fact, they were there. For me, it was an act of defiance. I was 18 during the riots in New York for Stonewall. I wasn't there, but I certainly was aware of it. I read it in the newspaper. I had people I knew at the beach who had participated in that. I used to go to a gay beach on Long Island, and there were people who were talking about that summer, late June in 1969. So I can't say I was especially brave. I wasn't going to deny who I am. I wasn't going to turn my back on my friends and my community. And that was a lesson I have to say that I've held to all these years.
I asked Richard, what about the police?
We had some very nice police who worked at my party. It was just a big party, and I needed some police to be outside for my neighbor's comfort. There was never debauchery or anything like that. It was a really nice garden party, and it was a nice little party. I will tell you, though, that the next day after what happened back in 75, when police raided that home in Southside, the next day, all of the charges were dropped. There was no proof. There was absolutely no proof. Yet their lives were ruined. Many of them were ruined. They lost their children. Many of them were out of the military. They lost their church. A couple of them even lost their families. So a hateful neighbor who is clearly homophobic. It's history, not a pretty part of history, but it is something, well, something for us to remember.
I wonder how Richard ended up in this career.
I was an educator. I was a speech pathologist in the school system. And I know that some of the principals and others that I work with probably clocked me as gay. And this was at a time when being gay in the school system in Florida was something that you could easily get fired for. But I was a speech pathologist, and that's a critical shortage. And I was a member of the union. I'm a big union man. And I thought, okay, start something. Just start something. And I wasn't fearful. But I will say one of the sadder moments was when my partner was sick. And I had to go to work every day. And he was in bed towards the end of his life. And I had to go to work every day, maintaining a smile, working with children. I couldn't tell anybody at work what was going on. Nobody knew. Have a smiling face when working with little kids and all of this. People would have responded in those days with a little bit of consternation, perhaps, if they knew that their children's speech therapist was gay. They did die. I called in sick that day. I couldn't call them and tell them why I was not coming in, but I called and I said, I really don't feel well. He passed away in the house. This is where he wanted to pass away, and we had him in his bedroom with his family here. That was comforting to him. His cat was in the bed with him. His dog was on the side of the bed. And he had died that day. He was very sick. And the next day I called in again and I pretended I wasn't well. I said, I'm feeling very sick. And that was the day we had to make arrangements for his funeral. So, but nobody knew at work. But I will say that Tony had written his obituary, which included me. And I wasn't going to change it. So the obituary said his longtime companion, Richard Cirillo. And so one of the people at work read that, and it was the counselor. And she pulled me aside and she said, if you ever need anybody to talk to, I'm here for you, which I thought was very sweet. Nothing more was needed to be said. I knew that she was aware of what had happened. Now, let me go back a little bit further in education too. This is a cool story. Actually, it's after that. The newspaper covered my party. The newspaper was here. They did an article about this large charitable gathering at my home. The money was going to help education, and it was a great affair. Well, the newspaper covered that. I went to work on Monday morning, and there was a parent in the office. And the parent said, is this a Mr. Cirillo who works here at this school? And they looked at the newspaper and they said, well, it looks like his name. Is this the same Mr. Cirillo who works with little children? And they said, if it's the same guy, yeah, he's worked pre-K in our kindergarten. Is this the same Mr. Cirillo who's a speech therapist here? And so they assured this woman, yes, this is Mr. Cirillo. Yes. And she said, well, I'm going to cry. She said, I just want to thank him. That's so sweet. He has done such a good thing. That surprised everybody in the office and certainly surprised me when I found out about it, that this woman had come in. She read it in the newspaper. It must have touched her heart or something. But in any case, that was one of those highlights that was a little surprising to me. But I'm very involved in a few things. I want to stay involved as long as I can be involved. The democratic process, environmental issues, civil liberties and civil rights for all people. I am blessed by having the best friends in the world who, as I tell them, put up with me despite myself. With regard to young people, I suppose because I thought of myself as a kind of a cool teacher, I had little kids tell me things. And I said, well, just to be true to yourself, be careful how you express that. I had kids tell me these things, one thing or the other. And then I have been interviewed by the CBS News with regard to some transgender issues locally in our school system, and where they had a parent who was suing the school system because their child had attempted to hurt herself because of her transgender identity, and they wanted to know from a teacher who had worked with kids who's gay and out my feelings about these things. So I had an opportunity to express my feelings about that kind of thing too. But I have had a lot of kids that have just, I knew they were on the trajectory of gay and lesbian or trans, but they remind me of myself when I was that young, still trying to figure it out. And maybe they saw a kindled spirit in me in some way. And so, anyway, yeah, it was fun.
I wonder how Richard ended up in this career.
You know, I ask myself that many times. I have a degree in business administration, and my last degree is in public administration. But my career was in speech pathology. I wanted to be a speech teacher, not a speech pathologist. But when you get into the speech science, it became much more interesting. Anatomy and physiology and neurology and language, linguistics. It was far more interesting than just public speaking. I don't know, the road not taken, who knows? I was working at Bloomingdale's before I moved to Jacksonville, and they wanted to keep me there. And they were planning on having me as an assistant to the buyer for men's clothing. Where would that have taken me in my life, I wonder? You know, I wouldn't know myself today. I don't know who I'd be. My professional career spanned from 1970-73-2016, so that was a long time. The road not taken, here I am, and I'm happy in the skin I am in, and the house I'm in, and the friends I have, and the path I've taken, with more paths ahead.
Richard, I want to thank you for spending this time with me.
Thank you. And I would tell you, anybody who's listening, in viewing of what we've experienced politically, I would say that keep the faith. The pendulum goes from one extreme to the other. And I hope that when we come out of whatever we're going into, we're stronger by it. I know I will be there urging us to maintain the course. And I appreciate you asking my opinion about these things and inviting me on your webcast. And I look forward to seeing you, not virtually, but in person. Soon enough, we'll have to host a party together.
Well, we've come to the end of the show. I hope that you enjoyed it. Richard is a special man, special because he's hung in there all these years, bringing about change with the help, of course, of many other wonderful people to the way we treat individuals who are living with HIV-related illnesses. And also, having brought about such a magnificent accomplishment of all places. Who would have thought? But it's there. And if you ever do visit Jacksonville, Florida, I hope that you drop in and take a look at that magnificent AIDS Memorial Project. Until next time, thank you for listening to the Umbrella Hour.